Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Last week I spoke about change, and I haven't finished with it yet because God is still taking me on a journey to still bring that to you. And I'm excited about it because we've been discussing a lot about change and the culture of change, the cultured mindset that we have. By the way, before I continue, I want to say congratulations to one of our daughters that got married on Friday. Mrs. Neslander, would you please stand? Diane, I've seen Diane grown spiritually in 2 years. I've been a pastor of this church for 2 years, and I am privileged and honored to be someone that's speaking spiritually into her life and watch her grow from. I said to her, I haven't watched you, I've never known you, I haven't seen you since you were a kid growing up, but I'm blessed to be part of your spiritual growth. And Diane came from another church, I won't mention names, and came and really grew strong in God here, and finally decided to do the right thing before God and her husband, Alfred, got married on Friday, bringing their marriage and relationship before God, under God's covering. Amen? Also, one of our daughters that got married the Friday before that was Helen. Mrs. Roberts, would you please stand up? Hallelujah. You know, God, the Word of God is doing its work in the hearts of our people. I remember preaching a message, and when I finished, I saw two women standing in the front here. And I thought, oh, they're here for prayer. But they're standing with my wife. And they said, no, we don't want the prayer. Give us the paper. What paper? We want to sign. We want to get married right now. We want to get this, our lives underneath the covering of God and do proper marriage, marry our husbands properly. And that was the Word of God. Amen. And we're seeing that. I think I've done about 8 weddings now. And that's God. Amen. I said, God, you speak to your people. I'll just bring the Word. Hallelujah. God needs more Elijahs and John the Baptist in the church. Amen? Where you deal with sin and deal with sin. Look at it and call it and deal with it. Hallelujah. And that's really what it is. And that's really the journey that we are in this church. I have been having discussions with Pastor Joe about the church. And I've been asking questions also to the Lord and asking God for wisdom in leading the church and working with the leaders in the church. And I thank God for each and every one of you that are, you know yourselves to be the people that I'm very close to, that I talk to, that I discuss the issues of the church and how the church is moving and what's happening. You know, sometimes we don't look to ourselves and just inside this church, but look outside and see what's happening. What is God doing? One of the things that really, really is burdening us, and I know it's not something new. I've been also asking questions about that. And this is what I've been getting and sensing in my spirit from God. And the church really needs a mindset change. And I talked about mindset change before. But I'm going to keep talking about it and keep bringing it to you because we need a total transformation of our mindset. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. God is saying we cannot and will not achieve the full potential and the vision of this church and also the great commission that He's given us if we don't have a mindset change. I said, I am tired of walking around in the desert for 40 years. I've been a pastor of this church for 2 years. The next 3, 4, 5 years, if God, Jesus tarries and I'm still the pastor of this church, I don't want to be moving around in circles, chasing my tails in the desert. Are you hearing me, church? Hallelujah. Until we break away from habits, break away from excuses, break away from traditions and that are holding us back, break away from your own preconceived ideas and start applying the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Somebody say amen to that. That you may, what? Prove what is good and acceptable and, listening to me, the perfect will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is not concerned about your will or your purpose. He's concerned about His will. His will must be what? Done on this earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. God's will is more important than any of us put together, any of our own put together. I spoke on this scripture last Sunday, which really challenged me again. And it's found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 28. And it says, "Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set." Do not remove the ancient landmark that your fathers have set. It burdens my heart and the hearts of many that I've spoken to or spoken with that the church today have removed a lot of landmarks. Somebody say amen to that. We have chosen to remove stuff that God never wanted us to remove. He said, do not remove the ancient landmarks that your fathers set. And I spoke about last week, honoring the elders and the fathers in the house that have spoken into our lives, that have guided us on how to walk in that place that God has called us to be, not to touch the ancient landmarks. Hallelujah. God spoke clearly on a powerful scripture in Jeremiah chapter 6, and I spoke about it last week as well. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16 says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see," or in other translations it says, "stand on the crossroads." This word challenged me. He said, "Stand on the crossroads and ask for the old paths. Where the good way is," and then it says what? "And walk in it. Then you will find rest," what? "For your souls." But they said, "We will not walk in it." Stubborn, hard-headed, don't want to change people. And ladies and gentlemen, our greatest problem today in the church. I have said this many times that the church has become a recycled plant for Christians. We are not bringing souls into the kingdom. We are recycling ourselves every time. Recycling. God is not into recycling. God is into new souls. This place must be the birthplace of souls. Hallelujah. I don't want to be in a church that's continuously recycling Christians. And we Christians are the biggest recycle problem. We're moving from one church to another, never planning ourselves to grow and to change. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about a worldly person. I'm speaking to Christians this morning. Stand at the crossroads. We are standing at the crossroads right now in this church and ask for the old paths. And this is the problem. We ask for the old paths or the ancient paths, but we never like it when God shows it to us. Somebody say amen to that. We never like it when God shows it to us. Why? Because the ancient part is not smooth, my friends. It's rough. It's rugged. It's long. It's narrow. And only a few can walk in that path. Hallelujah. We don't like it when God shows us the ancient paths. The old ancient path is a part of the old rugged cross. There is no shortcuts. It's a long, narrow path, and the only way is to walk in it. Amen. He says, ask for the path, and then when He shows you, He says, now walk in it. Amen. Hallelujah. That is why many of you want to choose the smooth path. Why? Because it's nice. It's no potholes, and it's smooth, and oh, it's really nice. It's got Hungry Jack's and KFC and all the fast foods under. We don't want to wait for the food to be cooked. We want it fast. Give it to us fast. And we franchise the church. And the body of Christ has become a franchise for everything. Because we want it fast. We want it smooth. We want it good. We want it not too rough. Hallelujah. God never intended for the body of Christ to be like that. Convenience and the comforts of life. The old ancient path is too hard. Let us make our own paths and make it smooth. That's our problem, my friends. We look at where God is trying to call us to and say, no, it's too hard. Let's just create our own path. It's smooth. It's easy. Let's stay in this place. When Jesus brought James and John up into that mountain of transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah came down, Peter says, let us build a little monument here. and let's just stay here. That's the problem. We build monuments around tradition and we stay in the place. We don't move. Jesus said, are you crazy? God also asks us where the good way is. The old ancient path is a good way. There is no other way. Ask where the good way is. And the good way is God's way. The good way is Christ's way. Hallelujah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, nobody comes to the Father except what? Through me. I am the way. I am the good way. Ask for that way. There are people sitting here needing to ask that question. Hallelujah. And then it says, and what? Walk in it. Then you will find what? Rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And friends, that is our problem. We speak, we ask for God to show us the way. We don't walk in it. We still use the same willpower that he gave us to actually go against him. You carry one of the most powerful qualities of God, and it's called will. Amen. And that same will you can use against God and his will and his word. To walk in your own ways and forget his ways. That's your own will that he's given you. Hallelujah. There are many people in this church who want to see the same things that I also want to see. I desire an hunger for change. But first we must bring the people to a place where there is a mindset change. And we will keep preaching that until your mindset is changed. Until your spirit receives something from God. And revelation comes and God reveals something to you. And you go, wow, what have I been doing in that same old place for all these years? Hallelujah. Then Jesus, when Jesus set foot on this planet, he began his restoration program 20 years ago. He had to deal with 400 years of cultured people. 400 years of people cultured. He had a tough time dealing with the religious people because he never brought another religion. He brought the kingdom of God. And he had to deal with the mindsets of people every day. Hallelujah. He had to deal with people who are what? Stiff neck and don't want to change. And, oh, this is right. Me just like this part. It's, what are you, you know, and it's just the same today. It hasn't changed, my friends. It's just the modern day we're living in now. We're driving cars. They usually have donkeys, but they have the same problem that we have right now. Hallelujah. That problem has not changed much since he was here. Even with the Holy Spirit present, people still don't want to change. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is present, but people still don't want to change. Jesus made a powerful statement in John chapter 6, verse 44, and he says, no one can come to me, what? Unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Nobody, you cannot come to Christ unless the Father draws you or the Holy Spirit draws you. He is the one that draws you to Christ. That's why the Bible says, do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Why? If you do that, you're on your own. Jesus said, you can speak against me, complain about me, talk against me, I will still forgive you. But he said, don't do it to the Holy Spirit. He is the one that brings you to the Father. The Father sent the Holy Spirit, and his primary job is to convict and bring people to Jesus Christ, who is the only way, what? To the Father. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit is the only one who can do that. I cannot change you. None of the pastors in this building can change you. No leaders can change you except the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You can make your own little New Year's resolution and say, oh, you know, I'm going to stop this and stop that. You know what? It's going to fail. You know why? Because that's your willpower you're trying to use. And your will without the Holy Spirit doesn't work. That's a worldly thing. Worldly people are using wills to change. Oh, you know, I don't take that anymore. I don't eat meat anymore. I'm a vegan. Man, I didn't make my way up to the top of the food chain to eat grass, I can tell you that. Give me the steak. Cut him up and put him on the barbecue. Fsh, fsh. Is there any vegan in the house? Someone just left the building, he's a vegan. Hallelujah. You can make your own decisions based on your willpower, but it doesn't change. But Jesus said, build your house on a strong foundation, which is Christ Jesus, the rock. I like the scripture in Isaiah 28:16. It says, so this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone. A tested stone. Everybody say a tested stone. A precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. I'm just introducing my message this morning to you, but it's good. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to start this message here by saying this, making these questions and recapping on what I shared last Sunday. These statements are principles that have guided me through life and before I came to Christ, and even to this day. You know, before I came to Christ, I based my life on principles. I don't know why. Maybe it was my father teaching me these things. I didn't read the Bible. I didn't understand the Bible. But I understand one thing, and that's just principles that us human beings should walk in. See, animals operate on instinct. You and I have a willpower. We don't operate on instinct like animals. We know we have the power to do that. When I look at my own journey before Christ, you know, I started to see God's hands in my journey. And I will say this, and I will keep saying this to you, that God gave us all one of his most powerful qualities called the willpower. What is willpower? Willpower is the ability to control your own mind and your own thoughts, the way in which you behave. That's your willpower. And I said it before, same willpower that you use against God, against everything that he does. God says something, you do something else. That's your willpower. You use it to disobey God. No creature created by God carries that power. All animals operate with instinct. We are the only creatures created by God that he gave us that quality to choose from right and wrong. Hallelujah. In other words, we have his image, what he looks like. We also have his likeness, his character. We've been running our leadership integrity training here on Wednesdays, and I've been talking a lot about character. And if you're one of the ones that are getting ordained on the 2nd of February, or you're interested in being a part of a leadership in this church or serve in this church, then I encourage you to come to leadership training. Because your gift doesn't protect you. Your character does. So I don't care about your gift. I care about your character. You come to me and say, I want to do this. I said, no. You show me your character first. Show me your fruits. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Before I can get you to do anything in this church. I'm serious. This is not time to be playing church with anybody. This is not time to bring the church to where Christ wanted to be. Hallelujah. We have his image. But when you came to Christ, he put his spirit on your will so that now you have not only an excuse to sin. We cannot sin anymore. Why? Because when you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. So your willpower now is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the conviction should come stronger than your willpower before to change. Hallelujah. You don't have just your will anymore, but you have the power of the Holy Spirit, which brings in that strong conviction and stronger than your own willpower. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ came for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is God's restoration program. We are in a restoration program. He left it in our hands. The Great Commission is one of his greatest restoration programs. He is here more for one thing, and to restore back the kingdom of God. Bring it back to where it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. Originally, the principles that I learned in my own life, and it is good for you to understand this, is that it's not what you are that holds you back. I discovered myself that it is not what I am that holds me back, but what I think that I'm not. That holds me back. That holds me back from thinking and changing. You cannot always control circumstances. That's why God says, do not dwell in the past. Do not dwell in the past. You can never change that. But he said, you cannot control circumstances, but you can always control your own thoughts. Haha, somebody say amen to that. You can control your own thoughts. You can change. You can make decisions right for God. You have the power to do so. Nothing changes until you change your mind. Anything that we do, nothing changes until your mindset changes. We've been talking about the culture of prayer. And I'm talking about that this morning. Information, listen to me, information does not bring transformation. Conversion does. The Holy Spirit does that. You can read the Bible, understand it, have knowledge about it. But unless you put it into practice, it's just the Word of God that you know in your head. It doesn't apply in your life. We're talking about applying God's Word into your life. Amen. The teaching of the Word of God brings what? Revelation to you. It reveals something to you. But whatever it reveals to you, you need to take it. And you need to say to yourself, God, I'm standing on what you've just shown me, and I'm going to change. I'm going to make some changes in my life. This is 2020. Yes, hallelujah. I said last week, time to change some of the things that you're doing right now. Make some changes. Hallelujah. That is why Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus didn't come to abolish anything. He came to put back. He came to reestablish it. He came to bring back the Spirit back into it. Hallelujah. We have the Holy Spirit with us now that can make the transformation in your life. Stop walking around saying, oh, it's just, we live in grace. We live in grace now. Shut up. The Word of God doesn't change. The principles of the Word of God doesn't change. Grace does not change you. The Word of God changes you. The principles change you. When you place yourself on the Word of God and apply it into your life, it changes you. And we stop using grace as license to make excuses. That's really what the point is here. Hallelujah. How many of you have said things like this? This person sitting in the front here or at the back here, he's been coming to this church for 15 years. We're not that old, are we? 7 years. Let's make it 2 years. How many of you have said this? This person here, sitting in this building for 2 years, he's received all these amazing teachings and messages and sermons and all the great principles of the Word of God, and still hasn't changed. How many of you have said that? I know you do. I know you have. You're probably sitting there going, I wish that person would be right here, right now, to hear this message. That was for him. What about you? Hallelujah. We say things like that. The answer is in the statement that we've just read. Information does not bring transformation. Conversion does. The teaching of the Word of God brings revelation, but the transfer of the Spirit of God brings transformation. As a man, what? Thinks in his heart, so is he. I want to say this. Miracles do not change the mind. Miracles do not change people. Somebody say amen to that. Some people are so good at saying this. I'm going to be sitting here until God show me a sign. A sign is not going to change you, my friends. We become like Gideon, putting the fleas out and saying, God, wet the flea and I know that you are here. And God's been wetting that flea for the last 20 years, my friends. And you're still in the same place you are. How many times have we been like Gideon? Who in this house have experienced amazing miracles? Who? Hallelujah. How many of you experienced manna falling from heaven? Bread falling from heaven? Food falling from heaven? And when you complain, it changed the menu. How many of you? That's a miracle. Hallelujah. Anybody ever been thirsty and don't have to worry about the water because the water is coming out of the rock free of charge? That's a miracle. Hallelujah. Anybody here been wearing the same set of clothes for 40 years and it doesn't wear out? That's a miracle. Have you seen that happen? Anybody here wearing the same shoes for 40 years, didn't have to change it? I wonder who created those shoes, hasn't changed? That's a miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody here seen a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night telling you which corner to turn and where to go? Any one of you have ever seen that? No, that's a miracle. Hallelujah. Miracles don't change you. I'm coming to my point here. We have never had that kind of miracle. And yet, these people who have seen it for 400 years of 40 years in the desert, saw all these amazing miracles. The Red Sea opened and all this amazing stuff that God did. Just let me read this scripture. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. And it tells you about people who've seen miracles, but yet remain the same. Hallelujah. Verse 7, it says, and when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through to the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might, what? Change their minds and return to Egypt. Hallelujah. The distance between, you know, when you were studying this, the distance between, I was sharing that with Joe, the distance between Israel and Egypt is what? A 35-day walk, right? Those of you who have been to Israel, but according to those who have done it, takes about 35 days, at least a month. These people could have been in Israel and the promised land in Canaan in a month. They went around in circles for 40 years because they refused to change. God is looking at changing the mindset of his people before he took them into a promised land. And that is the problem with us. You cannot see change and you cannot achieve anything that God wants to give you until you start changing your mindset. Your mind must start to change. Hallelujah. God can give you something that you're not ready for it. These are the people who have seen miracles for 40 years. All these amazing things that I'm talking to you about. Bread coming from heaven. Shoes that lasted for 40 years. Clothes, the same clothes. Water coming out of the rock. The Red Sea opening up. Hallelujah. Fire by night, cloud by day. Amazing, powerful miracles. Yet, that miracle never changed them. Are you seeing the power of your mindset right now? What is this statement that the Bible says? God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, but through though that was shorter. Why? What is the problem? For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. We like nice, smooth paths. As long as it's smooth and it's easy, we like that. God already had a problem with their mindset. He says, these are people that have been delivered from slavery and oppression, but I got to deal with their mindset every time. The biggest problem was not the people, but their mindset that God had to change. Even people didn't want to change. Could you imagine the mind, that the mind is more powerful than the vision? Your mind is more powerful than whatever vision you have. I can tell you this. No matter what vision you have got great dreams and great things to achieve in God, but your mind has to change for it to happen. Amen. Pastor Joe and I are talking about prayer in this church. We want people to have the cultured attitude of prayer. Our mindset must be changed. I don't know where you came from, what church you used to be in, where you came from. Time to change our mindset. Our mindset must change. No matter what God promised you, if your mind can't handle it, then you won't get it. That is a tough revelation to see. As big as His promises are, they depend on your attitude and your mindset. People say, oh, I got a really great promise from God and I saw this thing and it's going to be... God says, until your mindset and your attitude change, then you will receive that thing. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a great commission. We have a great task ahead of us as a church. Hallelujah. And it can't be achieved until our mindsets start to change. God says, I have prepared a table for you, but you got to be what? Prepared for the table. Amen. We like to use that scripture all the time. God has prepared a table for us. Are you ready for the table? Yes. That's the question. The church is full of people like that, and the church has become, like I said before, a recycled plant, recycling Christians. We call them flowerpot Christians. In PNG, we have a name for them, butterfly. They fly to one place, they finish all day, they fly to another flower, they stay there, they fly there, they everywhere. No foundation. Plant yourself in a place where God can water you and grow you so that you can bear what? Fruit. Much fruit in Him. And receive. If God's given you a vision, then you plant yourself in a place where you can grow. Hallelujah. Here's the good news. God believes that it is possible to change the people's minds after they have been in the slavery and oppression for 400 years. God believed that. He believed they can change. But the people didn't believe that. That is the problem. God believes you can change. God believes you can do that. But we don't want to do it. It's easier to watch Netflix when there's prayer on. It's easier to go and visit families when there's prayer on. When the call for prayer is happening in the church, suddenly everyone's doing something different. I want the prayer of this church to start like what you come in the church right now. I want the people to walk past and go, what's happening in there? Is there a church? No, they're praying. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Church prayer meetings should be filled with people. Amen. Hungry to come and cry out to God and repent on the behalf of the body of Christ and repent on the behalf of the nation and cry and pray. Amen. And that only starts when you have a disciplined prayer life with that mindset change. Hallelujah. I was with the African families here yesterday. They asked me to come and share the vision of the church and encourage them. And I shared the word. But during the worship, my goodness, these people are people of prayer and worship, crying out to God. I stood there and faced the wall and wept. And I said, God, I pray that this, our church becomes like that. We've lost that culture of prayer. And I encouraged the African church. I said, this place has become a mission field for you people. God didn't move you from faraway country to come and have a good life, a good job, and save from all the persecution that you have. God moved you here to become the spokesperson for His kingdom. Because this place has lost its spiritual richness. If you are a person from outside, you'll know that. I don't know. I've lived in this country for 20 years now, 25 years. And I've seen something that is, it burns my heart. And I said, one day, if I'm going to take the church, there was never a plan to be a pastor of the church. But all of a sudden, I'm kicked into that place. I said, I don't know anything else but to bring this church to a place where I know it should be. How? I saw the fathers planted the ancient landmarks. I followed the fathers and how they did it. And Papa Emmanuel is here too this morning, so I want to encourage him. These are the fathers that have gone before us and have showed us. All you elders in the church here, we respect you. Why? I respect you. Why? Because you've gone ahead of me. You know the ancient landmarks. You haven't. Your generation have never touched the ancient landmarks. You haven't removed that. Our generation is the one that's removing all those things. That should be a burden to every person sitting inside this room today. Hallelujah. And as I said, my aim for bringing this message to you is so that we can look at our own conditioning of our mind and start making the changes. I continue to bring this message because I want this church to pick up the culture of prayer. It's a mindset thing. It's a mindset thing, sorry. The culture. When the apostles approached Jesus, they watched him. They never asked for him to teach them how to walk on water. They never asked him to raise the dead or pray for all his and do all his amazing miracles. They asked him one question. They said, teach us, not how to pray, teach us to pray. That's talking about culture. He says, we've seen you. That thing, it consumes you. That thing called prayer, that when you talk to God, it consumes you so much. It's become your culture. It's become something that you believe and you hold on to. The apostle said, teach us that. Not how to do it. He said, teach us that so that our mindset will be changed. That we can become like you. Well, it took a while for Jesus to bring that to the people. Because every time they're falling asleep and he's praying. But they never asked him for anything. They said, teach us to pray. Not how to pray. These are people that Jews pray. Their religion taught them to pray. They know how to pray. But they saw Jesus doing something. They go, you need to teach us that. That's something that we haven't seen for 400 years. Hallelujah. Jesus had to come and break this cultured mindset of these people. My friends, the message today is to you, time to change. Time to bring yourself and say, God, I've been cultured wrongly. It's time to rebrainwash you. That's the right word for it. You've been brainwashed by something else. I want to rebrainwash you. That's a new word. Let the Holy Spirit brainwash you. Amen. When you are brainwashed by the Holy Spirit, my goodness, you become like Elijah. Amen. You become like John the Baptist. Amen. You are one with God. When you pray thinking about God's heart. Amen. When you pray, you're thinking about God's mind. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, I said this before. I am not prepared to be a pastor of a church to go around in circles for another 400 years, 40 years. I refuse to. I want to see change. And I'm pushing for that to happen. And our leaders are pushing for that to happen. And I said to Papa John, we just got to lead by example. We just got to keep preaching it to the people. We're going to keep teaching the people and break that mindset inside of them. And I pray that the Holy Spirit is doing that to you right now, sitting here this morning. Hallelujah. We have started a month of fasting and praying in January for 21 days. And we've started. And I encourage you, all of you that are here, don't get discouraged by there's only 7 people in the building or there's 5 people in the building. Don't get discouraged. We are in a mindset change right now. We're in a place where God is going to change our mindset. The culture is going to come back. And it's going to start here in this church. I don't know what other people are doing, but I'm concerned about the church that I've been in charge of to oversee it. I said, God, I can only do how I've seen the forefathers do it. And I can do that. We can do that together. Our next fasting and praying for 21 days will be in April. And then every 3 months after that. It's a 3 month interval for our fasting and praying. That's teaching us to pray for 21 days and fast. If the Muslims can do it, then we can do it too. Amen. Hallelujah. We can become people of fasting and people of praying. And you watch what God is going to do. Hallelujah. Amen. God is not concerned about you. Listen to me, listen. God is not worried about your plans. He's worried about His plans, the Great Commission. He said, seek My kingdom first and My righteousness. And everything that you're thinking about, your new car, your new house, or whatever that is, that shall be added unto you. But you come and seek My kingdom first. You come and seek My will first. Hallelujah. That's the message for this morning, my friends. I cannot tell you any more than this. And that's what God is saying to us today. I'm burdened by it. The leaders are burdened by it. But not only burdened, we're excited about it. Because we know that it's going to start happening inside the church. Hallelujah. I spoke about traditions. Check traditions first before you start worshiping traditions. If traditions doesn't bring the truth, then get rid of tradition. This is the place where we're going to start bringing changes into the church. We have become so, the body of Christ has become so worldly. I'm saying it every time. We're running our integrity leadership on Wednesdays. I encourage you, if you want to be a leader in this church, because people, I've seen people not walking in integrity in churches. People living in adultery. People stealing money from church and are yet still standing on the pulpit preaching. People are doing all that stuff and still standing on the pulpit and preach. I'm sitting going, what is wrong with this picture? I'm just another one of the congregation people sitting there watching. Everyone is crying out for revival. Singing about revival songs. We sing about the great Southland of the Holy Spirit this morning. That doesn't happen until you bring yourself to a place of prayer. You can sing it until the cows come home. It doesn't happen until you bring yourself to a place of discipline, of mindset change, starting to be a person of prayer. Pray for what you're singing about. It's just a song. But it becomes a powerful, powerful song and has a lot of meaning to it when we start to bring ourselves to the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Those of you that are in the prayer, you know that. I'm going to close with this. Nehemiah was raised in exile, yet he never forgot the faith of his fathers or the stories about the glory of the Lord that had been manifested before him. Those of you that have seen the fire of God and the power of God are longing for that again. We want to see that again. We want to see that happen again. We want to see the manifestation of the power of God. Listen, miracles are not there to do anything but to show you that the presence of God is there. Nehemiah's heart was grieved because he had heard some travelers in his own tongue talking to the distress of the Jews in captivity. And in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 3, listen to what it says. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Verse 4. So it was when I heard those words that I sat down and wept and moaned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Hallelujah. When Nehemiah had this news, he did four things. What did he do? He sat down and wept. Hallelujah. And then he moaned, the Bible says, for a certain day. Not just one day. He was mourning for his people. True act of repentance and crying out to God. And then he said, and then he fasted. And then what? He prayed before God of heaven. Hallelujah. It was not a 5-minute emergency prayer. It was a prayer of passion. Praying and calling out to God for the people. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 6 says, please, this is Nehemiah's prayer. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant which I pray before you now, day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. Nehemiah's prayer wasn't about his needs. He wasn't praying for his new car. He wasn't praying for his new house. He wasn't praying for his own, even his own family. He wasn't praying for that. He was praying for God's people and God's will. When you put yourself back and pray a corporate prayer for others, then watch what God do with you. He knows already your needs. Go and seek his face for others. Pray for the body of Christ. Pray for the direction of the body of Christ in this country. Pray for this nation. Pray for this city. Pray for these things like that. That doesn't have you in the focus. He is a man who has never seen the former glory of his nation. Likewise, we are the people who have only heard on our ears that the Lord of glory can do what? Revival. Some of you have not seen it with your eyes. Some of you have. And we're all longing for it. Hallelujah. Longing that it will happen one day. But it's coming. When we start changing some things in our lives that take up our time and start the culture of prayer in the church. My friends, that's really what I want to share with you this morning. That's continuing from last week of the change of mindset in our hearts. So it's not just the mind, it's the hearts. The Bible says, wherever a man thinks what? In his heart. We don't change our mind here, we change our mind in our hearts. Hallelujah. I'm excited to see what God is going to do as we release the word of God to the people. Hallelujah. You know, God does not want your partnership. He wants ownership of you. He doesn't care about partnership. He wants ownership. If he can own you, you'll be a world changer. You become a person of change. You become somebody that can change the nation, change your community, change your family. Hallelujah. You know, miracle signs and wonders do not change people. I said that already. You know, the signs and wonders will come when we start bringing ourselves to a place of change. Hallelujah. Jesus never brought a religion. We've got enough religion already destroying people's lives. He brought a kingdom. A kingdom. Hallelujah. And the kingdom is not a religion. It's the influence of another government of God. The government of God must influence this place. His prayer was very simple. He says, pray that thy will be done in heaven as it is. Oh, done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Let's just switch that around. That's really what it is. We are bringing God's kingdom here. Kingdom of God invading planet earth. That's really what we're here for. Hallelujah. That is why it's called a kingdom. So miracles, signs, and wonders are not for entertainment, my friends. Miracles are not supposed to be used as a point of attracting believers to big meetings. Miracles, signs, and wonders are supposed to show us that God is present. It's supposed to show that God is here. God is. There's another kingdom operating right now on this earth. Hallelujah. We're going to see changes happening in the church. The biggest challenge facing us as a body of Christ is that the church has become impressed with itself, and there's too many self-promotions and self-this and self-that. And you know, the body of Christ has become self-promotional. Too preoccupied promoting ourselves. There seems to be such a, you know, clutch of self-promotion, self-labeling, self-advertising. And God is still waiting for us to stand up and do His work. Hallelujah. Right now, religion is the number one problem that we need to deal with every time. And God came to deal with religious people that have been on in that religious oppression for 400 years. He had to deal with that. And so I encourage those who are leading the prayer and those who are coming here and those of our pastors who are talking about it, don't give up. We have a new remnant of people that will come that are hungry for that, what we're talking about today. When Nehemiah called out for people to build a wall, listen, nobody came. Only a few came and built a wall. Regardless of what you do, don't worry. God's kingdom is not built by thousands of people. Only those that chose to walk in that rugged path, chose to walk in that rough road, chose to walk in that narrow path, are the ones that didn't make changes that can build that wall. Hallelujah. You hear stories in the Bible of people. Call come up, nobody comes. God only uses one person or two person or just a group of people to do that. Why? He just needs obedience. Obedience is one of the greatest things God is asking from us this morning. Hallelujah. And that's my message today, my friends. Hallelujah. Please stand. I know there are people standing here today that need some changes in your life. You don't need big changes. You need to start small. You need to say to God, God, I want change. I'm tired of what I'm doing. I'm tired of doing the same thing all over and over again. I just need some change. Hallelujah. As we sing and worship Him, the Holy Spirit is going to do some work in your life to this morning. Let Him do it. Don't be like that person that comes and sits here for the last 2 years and hasn't changed. I can't change you. I release the word of God with the Spirit over it to change you. All you have to do is take that word and say, God, I'm going to make the change in my life. No more willpower. No more will worship. I don't want to worship my will anymore. I want to worship you. Because you're the one that can make the true change in my life. Hallelujah. Close your eyes as we worship. Shibraga. Father, we thank you. Lord, your word has been released to your people. I have obeyed you and I've released your word to your people today. God, we know that nothing is done in your kingdom with many people. Only those that are choosing to walk that path. You even said that many are called but few are chosen. I pray that these people here this morning are chosen ones. These are the ones that have received this message. These are the ones that are chosen, oh God, to do your will. I pray today, Father, for your change to start happening inside the hearts of your people. Father, we thank you, God. Holy Spirit, you are the one that can do all those changes. You change our hearts. You brought us to the Father. You brought us into the kingdom of God. And now you can change us. We understand that the sanctification is a process, but God, I pray that this process will go really fast in people's lives today. That we become a changed people in our hearts, which is our mindset. Father, I pray right now and I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is cleaning up the people. Father, we pray that we are people. We want to stand in the place of obedience. Be people of obedience. That obey every word that comes from you. Every principle that you have set for us. All the decrees and precepts, the commands that you have given us. Because we are kingdom people, God. We understand kingdom principles. We understand that we must always walk on those principles, Father. Hallelujah. Because your word is life. Your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word guides us, Lord, throughout our life. I pray, Father, for each and every man, woman, and children today. Just touch them with your Holy Spirit today. Pray, Father, that, Lord, you challenge them, ignite them, cause them to be restless. Father, as they spend time with you praying in their own closet, oh God, that you start to develop a mindset of a changed people, people that are willing to change, people that are ready to follow the ancient paths, the right way, the rough way, the rugged way, that there is no shortcuts to anything in our lives, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.